J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
When you're just a kid growing up on the south side of Chicago, you never think, you never imagine in your wildest dreams that even if you are successful in the broadcasting business, that someday you're going to be sitting down across from a show business legend like Don Rickles. I did have that opportunity in the late 90s. He's our JC Celebrity A-List Interview of the Week.
Don, good morning. How are you?
Hey, JC, old buddy. Wow.
A real charge
Stan of energy. Stan Musial. Wow.
Well, actually, these days, Mark McGuire.
We know that. We have papers in New York and California.
Well, let's dive right in, Don Rickles. I understand that you're doing quite well financially after a great show business career. You wouldn't necessarily know that from the suit you're wearing, but was there a time in your life...
Why did you turn on me, JC? For no reason, you turned on me. I was very nice.
Was there a time in your life when you were not necessarily financially responsible?
Oh, sure. At the very beginnings of my career, when I was a very young man, I came out of the Navy in World War II, and I didn't have much to go on, and... Bucks was short, but as you work and you get a good business manager.
Yeah, and so, you could have probably retired by now, and yet you have not. Why not?
Greatness. Why should the public miss greatness? They stand around and they say, when is he going on? When can we hear him? Why would I give it all up? The world wants me. You think I want to wind up in St. Louis hitting beer cans? I got to have a life.
Well, you know, I'm
surprised. I can't stand around watching Mark McGuire hit a home run and watch his kid throw himself in the air. I can't.
Now, I'm surprised you have any money left, because I remember when you would go on the old Tonight Show with Johnny, you talk about these exorbitant vacations you went on, and I have this theory that you don't really get to know a person until you travel with them, and your traveling companion, along with your lovely wife Barbara, used to be Bob Newhart. What were those vacations like, and did you blow a lot of cash on those?
No, he was excellent. I saved a lot of money, as a matter of fact, because he carries the luggage, you know. He does the room service. He doubles at all that stuff. He's that kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm a wealthy Jewish kid from New York, and he's from the Midwest, and he knows a bologna sandwich on white bread, and to him, that's excitement.
And by the way, before he got into comedy, he was an accountant, so maybe he was the best guy to be traveling with.
Well, you know, he's not exactly the life of the party, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's the kind of guy on New Year's Eve, his hat bends, you know. But he's a dear friend, and I love him dearly, and we've traveled together, but now the wife and I are going on a trip without them, so we're going to go to South America and find out who's in charge.
Well, you know what, Don, you're not really a kid anymore, and yet you are still very popular with young audiences and young comedians. You were just...
Well, naturally. You never saw my body in the shower, did you? Fantastic. I take a shower, you know, the water runs up. That's how great my body is.
And by the way, when your kids were growing up, I mean, this is something that I have to deal with periodically. How did you explain to them that what Daddy is doing is show business and, you know, you really can't act and you really can't talk like Daddy does when he's on TV?
Well, I gave him a check. So you take a check, you write it out, see? Then they take the money and they buy themselves all kinds of things. And they say, Daddy's wonderful. We don't know what he does, but he keeps giving us checks. And that's what keeps them happy.
Now, you've had kind of a second career as a movie star, and I'm sure that's actually not really true, because I remember you were in... Were you in Beach Blanket Bingo?
No need to bring that up, JC. There's no need at all. No, I was, with Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello.
Right.
In those days, it was right for me, and it was a lot of fun doing those kind of pictures. But then as time went on, Kelly's Heroes with Clint Eastwood, a Rat Race with Debbie Reynolds and Tony Curtis. And I've been blessed in Casino just recently, a year ago or so, with Robert De Niro, who I carried, and Sharon Stone, who wanted to be with me desperately. Oh, she kept throwing herself against the trailer. I hated that. I'm the voice of Mr. Potato Head again for Disney. It's my whole life to see Mickey Mouse run around the lot.
Don Rickles, a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, April 14th, 2022. 217 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC. You are at jconthewine.com. I meant what I said there, too. You know, when you're a kid growing up on the southwest side of Chicago, you don't ever think that even if you're successful in the broadcast business, you're not going to be sitting across from Don Rickles. But man, oh man, that was just one of those seminal moments. And the thing about it is, it's one thing to get the interview. It's another thing to get something out of the interview. I say that all the time because, you know, some of my competitors will eventually just walk out and get a good interview. But then it just never seems like anything happens. Nothing memorable takes place. It just seems like you can almost tell that the person being interviewed has been asked all of these questions a million times. They don't feel stimulated by the conversation, and you just don't get anything memorable. So what we did there, I'm very proud of, because we rattled... We rattled his cage a little bit right from the beginning when I put that shot in there about his suit, because I knew what he was going to do. I mean, that's a rite of passage to be taken down a notch by Don fucking Rickles. Oh, man. Sometimes when I hear that, I haven't heard that in a long time. I just sit there and go, wow. Wow. That's just fucking cool. And it's all there is. All right. There are people who are very, very angry that their houses didn't get, you know, blown apart by the storms yesterday. Yes, people seem very, very disappointed. I was hoping for golf ball size hail and damage to my car and maybe have my roof blown off and stuff like that. And when it didn't happen, I was so disappointed. That seems like what the emotion is after the storm fizzled out yesterday. And that's what happened. As I understand it, the weather guys, the way they explained it was that before the atmosphere had a chance to really start cooking with the heat of the day, there were some showers and thunderstorms that sort of took the air out of the storm system. And so all of the severe stuff just sort of petered out. And I understand people get angry, but here's the thing. Think about what you're saying. You're expressing disappointment that we didn't experience serious property damage yesterday. But again, we've talked about this before because this happens usually like once or twice every winter. You associate these blown forecasts with winter storms because they're like, all right, we could get 6 to 12 inches of snow. You end up getting 166 snowflakes and that's it. And the thing is over. You want, and when I say you, I mean the collective you. I'm not pointing a finger at any one individual. I'm just saying the collective you want weather forecasting to be an exact science. And it's not. I was watching one loudmouth woman on social media last night just berating the weather people, just saying things about the forecasters' mothers and things like that. I mean, just really, really taking all these weather forecasters' heads off. With all that expensive equipment, you have all those computers, and you blew the forecast. It's like, well, yeah. That's exactly what happened, because weather isn't an exact science. Now, I can be a real wise guy here and say that if you keep track of this stuff on a daily basis, do it for an entire year if you feel like it. You know, the weather guys are right about 96% of the time. That's why some of these stations sometimes will do like the 3-degree guarantee where they say, you know, the high is going to be 90. And if you get to 87, they count that as a win. Anything from 87 to 93, they would count as a win. The 3-degree guarantee, okay. It's actually the 6-degree guarantee. But yeah, I understand what they're trying to say. They get it right most of the time. The overwhelming majority of the time, you know, they're within a degree or two of the high temperature. They say it's going to rain, it probably does rain. If they say the sun is going to be out, the sun's usually out. They get it right the overwhelming majority of the time. This thing yesterday was a very unusual situation. You know, normally you watch these storms come out of the Pacific Northwest and then they swing down, you know, like Arizona, stuff like that. And then they start coming up right up I-44 all the way up over the top of the mountains. So the snowstorms, you can't really get an accurate depiction of what's going to happen in terms of snowstorms until those things clear the Rockies, because those Rockies can really rip up low pressure centers. But once it clears there, and then, like I said, it comes right up I-44 and right towards St. Louis, and you can watch the thing coming. It's not what we had yesterday. What we had yesterday was this thing that was going to blow up right over the top of us. And in fact, it did. I mean, they were certainly right about the rain, no question about that. And there was a lot of severe weather, but it just went to the south and east of St. Louis. But I'm not going to win this argument. People are just, you know, need something to complain about. But just understand that they were telling you what they thought was right based on the available science, but the available science is not perfect. Weather is not an exact science, weather forecasting. This reminds me of the stuff that people say about the CDC. Whoa, they're wrong all the time and they keep changing their minds. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I was going to say not exactly, but the truth of the matter is it's no, not at all. What they're doing is telling you what they thought during the pandemic. They were telling you what they thought was right based on the information they had at the time. And as the thing played out, the scientists, the doctors, the CDC, everything, they started learning more about this crazy system of variants that started to develop. We had never really had anything like this before, so everybody was sort of learning on the fly, and they told you what they believed to be right. Remember when they had us wiping down our mailboxes, and if you went to the grocery store, you know, some people were actually wiping down their food before they put it away. We thought that we thought that surfaces like tabletops and things like that were carrying this thing, and that's how it was being transmitted. And because that's what they thought was right at the time. And as time went on, they realized, oh no, this is an airborne thing. And then people stopped having to wipe everything down, and they concentrated on the droplets that were coming out of your mouth when you complain about the weather forecast. So they tell you what they think they know at the time based on the information that they have. And as we learn more about things, you make those adjustments and you go, okay, all right, we thought this was right at the time. Well, it turns out it's not. Here's what we think now. And eventually they nail it. But, you know, like I said, I'm not going to win this argument. I can tell you right now. The stats are in on Instagram. Kylie Jenner, 327 million followers of Kylie Jenner. Kim Kardashian, 300 million. Khloe Kardashian, 234 million. So that is roughly a billion people on Earth following the three Kardashian girls. God help us all. Molly Shannon, formerly of Saturday Night Live, has been out there hawking a new book. She said when she was trying to break into show business, she signed with Gary Coleman's agent. Then she met with him, and he sexually harassed her. She said he was jumping all over her, trying to kiss her, and grabbing onto her leg before she finally escaped. Sports note here. This has happened before. Some of the reporting is a little lame here because it has happened a couple of times before that I can even remember off the top of my head. Clayton Kershaw was pitching a perfect game for the Dodgers yesterday against Minnesota, but manager Dave Roberts pulled him out after the seventh inning. Yeah, seven innings, 80 pitches because he was on a pitch count because it's so early in the season. And especially if, you know, players are coming back from injuries or surgery or something like that, they put you on a pitch count. They're like, we don't really care what's going on, but when you hit 80 pitches, we're pulling you out of the game. Not suspecting, when you say that, that the guy's going to be in the middle of a perfect game. And, of course, the fans are yelling and screaming about it, going, he pulled him out. He denied him his right to pitch a perfect. Yeah, he denied him his right to have his arm fall off, too. If you were a fan of the movie Ted, you'll be happy to know that it was in 1993. Seth MacFarlane going to voice Ted again in a prequel. No release date announced yet. Somebody at Glamour magazine with way too much free time on their hand, a little bit of kinkiness, sat there and go, let's put together a list of the best sex scenes of all time on television. Number 10, Queer as Folk Season 2. Michael and Ben make sweet, sweet love. Shameless, oh my God, she was taking her shirt off like twice an episode in that television series. Fiona and Jimmy molest each other in the kitchen. Season 1, Shameless, in ninth place. The L Word came in at 8. Game of Thrones, Orange is the New Black. Piper and Alex have angry library sex. A lot going on there. Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the girlfriend experience. I used to watch that. That was a dirty show. Erica and Anna go at it in the kitchen. It was really interesting. When I was in college and you'd see porn movies, you know, some guy would rent a projector and you'd get a grainy old film with the thing had been spliced together and the picture was jumping around all over the place. And everybody would chip in your $5 and jam into somebody's room or into like a lounge area. They would dim all the lights and everything and keep the RA out, the resident advisor out. You'd sit there and you'd watch these things. And that's when I began to discover a phenomenon that I was unfamiliar with, and that is guys who really, really like the lesbian scenes. For some of them, that's their favorite part of the movie, the girl-on-girl stuff. Does absolutely nothing for me. I don't get it. And even in standard conventional porn movies today, there's always at least one of those scenes in every adult film. That's not for the women. That's for the guys who like that stuff. And I've never, ever understood that. But I will say that was a hot scene in the girlfriend experience. Bridgerton came in second. And then number one, Outlander season one, Jamie finishes Claire with his hands. And there you go. Although that scene where Alexandra Daddario, that chick with those piercing eyes, my God, the eyes on that woman, where she takes off her shirt, she's sitting on Woody Harrelson. That did it for me. Not on the list. All right, late night tonight, only a couple of guys working. Kimmel's got Bob Odenkirk. Hugh Laurie is on with Stephen Colbert. Everybody else is on break. Cuba Gooding Jr. is in trouble, man. He pleaded guilty to forcibly touching a woman at a New York City bar in 2018. He's not going to serve any time, but they got him apparently doing it like 3 or 4 times. He was just having a rough night. Bill Maher and Joe Rogan. Talk about two unlikable people. Joe Rogan's got like 1 million people listening to his podcast. Bill Maher, very, very successful stand-up comedian. Instead of real time, tomorrow night they're going to run his, I think it's an hour-long comedy special, like him on stage somewhere in Florida. Joe Rogan, I don't get. Bill Maher, I get. I never missed the show, but he is just getting more and more and more insufferable with every week. Good news, Amy Schumer's Life and Beth has been renewed for a second season on Hulu. I love Amy Schumer. I really, really think she is the shit right now. Remember we were telling about that John Hinckley. John Hinckley, the guy who shot Reagan, booked a concert in New York. A concert. Who even apparently is sitting there in jail with a notepad writing songs and manages to convince some venue in New York. Yeah, I'm the guy who shot Reagan. I got some cool songs I'd like to sing. And they're like, okay, let's book you. Well, the story gets worse than that. Concert is sold out. Concert is sold out. And George Harrison's childhood home in Liverpool being turned into an Airbnb and museum. Birthdays today, one of the greatest pitchers ever to work the bump, Greg Maddux, 56 today. Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond, 6'8", by the way. He's 62 today. Richie Blackmore, who's in the Hall of Fame, Deep Purple, 77. Pete Rose, not in the Hall of Fame, 81 today. And Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter. I'll be honest with you, I forgot she was still alive. She's 90 today. Cardinals are taking their first road trip. It's going to be up in Milwaukee. And yeah, we were talking about this yesterday. The fact that it's going to really get cool in St. Louis this weekend, which means cold in St. Louis. Can you imagine what it's like up in Wisconsin? Friday, high 49, low 30. Saturday, high 41, low 31. Easter Sunday, high 41, low 35. And then Monday, snow. And the Cardinals wrap up that series Sunday in Milwaukee, and then they go to Miami, which I think they're going to enjoy after all of this. Remember Mick Mulvaney, one of the guys in the Trump White House, one of the advisors? He said this yesterday, and he was serious. He says, the only real threat to Donald Trump's candidacy for presidency, you know, in other words, getting the nomination to be the candidate for the Republican Party in 2024, the only person, the only potential candidate that could upset that plan is The Rock. And like I said, he meant that. Price of gasoline in Brazil, 557. Germany, 870. Price of gas in Japan, 551 a gallon. Hong Kong, 1090 a gallon. Israel, 854. Australia, 591. Italy, 874. The United Kingdom, 840. a gallon. Last I checked, Joe Biden is not the president of any of those countries. Just keeping it real. Just keeping it real. Back when I was a kid and like through high school and everything like that, we would go to the mall and we'd go right into JCPenney. We didn't have any concept of any really, really nice stores. You know, JCPenney was like a cool store, I thought. You know, if you needed a white shirt for school, which I did, you go in there, you buy a shirt. But it was almost like a giant Target or something, too, because you could go in, they had electronics. You could go in there and buy, at the time, albums and cassettes at that time. Then you'd scoot out of there, walk some more down the mall, and go into Sears. Obviously, things have changed. The first JCPenney store opened on this date 120 years ago in 1902 in a place I've never even heard of, Kemmerer, Wyoming. The C in JCPenney, by the way, stands for cash. The J stands for James. Titanic went down on this date 110 years ago. And I love this story. I do it every year on April 14th. It was 29 years ago, 1993. A guy by the name of Don Calhoun from Bloomington, Illinois, ends up with a free ticket to a Chicago Bulls game. And the guy gives him the ticket and says, yeah, I can't make it. Go ahead. He's thinking, that's a hell of a drive. It's like 3 hours just to get to Chicago. And then you've got to navigate and circumvent the traffic and everything like that. That's a long night. And then the game's over. Get a hotel because you're not going to turn around and go all the way back to Bloomington. Or so Don Calhoun thought, because he got a little extra charge of adrenaline while at the game because a member of the Bulls promotional staff approached him during the second quarter, said, hey, we're going to do this thing where we pull somebody out of the crowd, you take a full court shot, and if you make it, we give you $1 million. He was like, sure. He had shiny gold boots on, by the way. So he goes out there. Crowd's like, look at this guy. Thinks he's going to make, holy shit, he made it. $1 million to Don Calhoun. I think suddenly he was able to afford the hotel. Being a movie geek, although not as much as I used to be, we've talked about this before, the fact that when it comes right down to it, movie theaters either break even or lose a little bit of money on the showing of movies, which is a weird business model. But it's actually the concessions where they make the money. That's why you're paying $11 for a box of popcorn and a drink that probably costs the theater, well, let's see, the price of the cup and then the actual fluid itself, maybe about 35 cents. But you're paying $8 for that big gulp thing. That's where they make their money. So really, when it comes down to it, movie theaters are, in reality, value-added candy and popcorn salesman. I bring that up because of this story. Francis Ford Coppola, who directed, of course, The Godfather, has made more money on wine than on making movies. Every July, what is it, the 20th? I think it's the 20th. Every July 20th, I get very excited because I love the American space program, and especially memories of 1969, the moon landing. The average age of the guys in NASA's mission control room during the Apollo 11 moon landing, the average age, 28. And my sphincter just sort of tightens up every April 14th, which is day, because it also is National Ex-Spouse Day, when you're supposed to forgive them for all the crap they put you through. Easier said than done. It's really more about letting go of all that stuff so you can move on. Some preacher came up with this in Kansas City back in 1987. So here's the question. Do you think it is possible to stay friends with somebody after a divorce? 68% of Americans in a recent poll said, sure. But 18% said maybe. 14% said, no way. Put me in that 14%. A couple of other things on Ex-Spouse Day. A survey a few years ago, the top things we found annoying about our ex-spouses include their snoring, their selective hearing, how they were such a control freak, or how bad they were with money. Have you ever gotten back together with an ex? Not necessarily after a divorce, but a breakup. 44% of Americans have, and half of those people said more than once. Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live divorced his wife. They were, you know, apart for a couple of years, and then they got remarried. There's a famous Chicago radio personality, WGN Chicago, Wally Phillips, same thing. Got a divorce, ended up remarrying the woman. I know the Daryl Hammond one did not work out. Not the first time, not the second time.
Is it true that you've been married to the same woman twice?
Yeah.
And so you were married once, and then you got a divorce.
Yeah, and couldn't help myself. What we ended up doing was hanging out all the time.
Right.
You know, because we really didn't know how to really be apart.
Right.
It's just that when we were married and living in the house and all of that, it was just that we didn't know how to do that. My parents are married 46 years, and they looked tremendous. And, you know, the first time I was married, like, you know, just under an hour. It was like my friends would come over to my house. I was already like a burglar in my own home. I mean, they'd come over and say, Daryl would say, oh, shut up. She's right there. Now, you see, like, if you guys laugh at that at all, it's because you must know what it's like to drop a towel on the floor and hear an alarm go off. Because you broke a rule, the kind of rule which exists only in a house full of love. Yes, here you'll find rules for the bathroom, rules for the kitchen, rules for the sweet and low dispenser. That stack of dishes in the sink, how long can they stay there? You'd better know. Because somebody knows. And since there's only two of you on the rules committee, how much you want to bet it ain't you. Now, you don't get divorced because the thrill is gone. It's because you don't know how to stack the tapes right underneath the VCR. Or you put the spoon... My wife would get so mad at me that the hole in her mouth was no longer big enough for all the topics to come out at one time. And she'd like yell at me as I'm like being yelled at by an auctioneer, like, Daryl, damn it! $100 bid, $100 seat, $100 for
it. That's one of those things that's so funny. You just kick yourself saying, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? It's so obvious. A study asked people to name the biggest a-hole they know, and half the people that were mentioned fell into one of these three categories: an old boss, an estranged family member, or an ex. Could this explain the Loch Ness Monster finally? Maybe, because it's sort of semi-hilarious. There's a story making the rounds right now about how the creature we all know as Nessie might actually be something different. A whale's wiener. Some whales mate in pods of three with two males and one female. The second male often stays at the surface and flaps its enormous junk in the air. And from a distance, it does kind of look like the thing that we have been describing as some monster out there. The whale junk theory has been around for a while, but it's in the news because a professor in England just said that's what he thinks Nessie is. When you look at a picture, you can see what he means. I'd sure like to know what the point of that is, though. So you got two males, one female. The one male is actually getting laid, and the other one is up at the surface just waving his thing in the air. I don't think those whales thought that out very well. Whale would have to swim 6 miles upriver to make it from the ocean into Loch Ness, but it sounds like maybe like after a big flood when the water levels are, what am I talking about here? Speaking of getting laid, a sex therapist in L.A. says she's seen a 45% increase in couples who want to talk about open relationships. She thinks it's because people have spent too much time together during the pandemic and want to spice things up now. She's noticed another trend, too. Men are usually the ones who suggest it, but they're also more likely to regret it. She says women tend to resist the idea at first, but once they say yes, they're more likely to want to keep it going. And it was on this date in 1993 that our concert promoter buddies here in St. Louis said, all right, look, we're going to bring Paul McCartney in to play a concert at Busch Stadium in a couple of months. He's kicking off the concert tour in Vegas. So we want you to go out there and we're going to let you see the show. And then you're going to have an opportunity to be at a news conference with Paul McCartney with about, 60 other journalists from around the country. Are you in? And I was like, damn right, I'm in. So they gathered us all together. It was at an outdoor venue. As a matter of fact, the venue was the place where they had that shooting a couple of years ago with the guy knocked out the window in the hotel and just started picking off country music concert goers. Remember that thing from a couple of years ago? That's where this was in 1993. So we're all sitting there, nice sunny day in Vegas, and then like emerging from around a corner, here comes Paul McCartney. And the first thing that you notice is that he's smaller than you would think. He's not as tall as I thought he was going to be. And because he's into that whole vegan thing, he was very, very thin. Not like unattractively thin where you look and go, oh my God, what happened to you? But he was very, very, he didn't have any excess body weight. Let's just put it that way. And he sat there and he answered questions.
Hi, Paul. J.C. Corcoran, KMOV, CBS in St. Louis. We've heard stories about how the Beatles really looked up to Elvis Presley, particularly in the early days. And since we're all here in the city, that Elvis sort of adopted as a second home. Could you talk a little bit about what Elvis meant to you and the rest of the Beatles?
Yeah, I was in love with Elvis. He was a marvelous man. When I first saw his picture, I was blown away by his good looks. And when I first heard his first record, I was even more blown away by his voice. I think he was one of the great voices of the century.
What was the first song you heard him do?
Of Elvis's Heartbreak Hotel. And when we finally met him with the Beatles in Los Angeles, we had just an evening with Elvis, you know, and he was brilliant. He was just a real great guy. And I think it was before he took up residence here. So perhaps he was a little more, straight. Anyway, we had a great evening with him. And he wanted to learn bass. So I sort of gave him a few clues and stuff. But he was just a great guy. You know, he seemed like a regular fella. And as I say, we were just all in love with him anyway. So it was a great evening.
And just as we mentioned at the beginning of today's podcast, when you're a kid growing up on the southwest side of Chicago, you don't think you're going to be sitting across from Paul McCartney. And yet, there you go. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, April 14th, 2022 is in the can. 217 days remaining in our American system of democratic government as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock, give or take a couple of minutes. Absolutely free. Everything is archived, so you can go back and pick up an old show. If you missed the opening day baseball show last Thursday, it's still there. You can still listen to it. If you didn't get around to it last week, maybe you were at the game, so you couldn't really do that. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.